This is Jan Swift, and you're listening to Discover Lafayette, a podcast dedicated to the people and rich culture of Lafayette, the gateway to South Louisiana. We tape our podcast with the ongoing support of Raider and Jason Sikora, our sound engineer, who makes this podcast possible through his professional mixing of our tapes. Raider is a hands-on IT service provider that integrates all of your needs for advanced technical support, effective communication options, and cybersecurity. Raider's motto is, you just want it to work, we understand. Please visit RaiderSolutions.com for more information. I'd like to thank our premier sponsors for making this podcast possible. First, Iberia Bank. They support our community in so many ways, and their dynamic team is committed to serving the banking needs of clients in this region and throughout the southeastern United States. Iberia Bank offers the resources of a national bank with the personal touch of a community bank. Please visit iberiabank.com for more information. The generosity of Lafayette General Health also makes this podcast possible. Lafayette General has been a leader in telemedicine. With the Health Anywhere app, your family can access quality urgent care at any time without an appointment, all from the comfort of home. It's the waiting room redefined. Download their app today at lghealthanywhere.com. With the COVID shutdown, the hurricane that just hit the coast of Louisiana, and the myriad of challenges we are facing today, it seems like a very good time to focus on the good that comes out of our philanthropic community. We're focused today on the Po' Boy Tasting and Fundraising Art Raffle, benefiting Big Brothers Big Sisters of Acadiana from September 1st through the 30th. Joining us in the studio are Callie Crist, Executive Director of Big Brothers Big Sisters, and Whitney Savoy, Director of Growth at Raider. We're going to discuss not only the current fundraiser for Big Brothers Big Sisters, but the restaurants involved, and also how nonprofits are surviving in these tough times. I want to welcome you both to the studio. Callie, Whitney, thank you for giving me this opportunity to share the message.
Thanks for having us. I'm excited.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. We're excited.
So we're here the week after, almost the week after Hurricane Laura. And so, Callie, not only have you been going through the COVID downturn running a nonprofit, but our whole region is really struggling to survive. And yet we are. People are finding ways to adapt and actually grow during these challenging times.
Yeah, and you know, it's been interesting. I like to say that the word for 2020 is pivot, because it seems like that's what everyone has had to do, mm-hmm. is pivot from what they were doing and just adapt. And move forward in whatever way possible during the pandemic and COVID crisis. So I know that's what we've had to do at Big Brothers Big Sisters. We serve our community's most vulnerable youth in one-to-one mentoring relationships, and our services didn't stop, and mm-hmm. they don't stop, and they're necessary and essential. So we've found new ways to support, continue supporting youth in the community.
Let's stop with that. Okay. I want you to talk about your mission before we start about this fundraiser.
Okay.
I looked online, and you know, we were talking before the podcast started. There are many nonprofits that are doing wonderful work in our community, and I'm not sure everybody knows exactly what Big Brothers Big Sisters does. And I saw that it's been in was started over 100 years ago.
Yeah, so Big Brothers Big Sisters of America is one of the oldest nonprofits in the country, about 115 years old. We are one of 240 affiliates of the National Federation, and we serve seven parishes in Acadiana. We were founded in Lafayette in 1985, making our first matches in 1986, so about 35 years old here locally. Our vision is that all youth achieve their full potential. Mm-hmm. While we share that same vision with thousands of other youth-serving organizations, many here in Acadiana, what really sets us apart is our mission and how we get there, and that's by creating and supporting one-to-one mentoring relationships that ignite the power and promise of youth in our communities.
Seven parishes.
Yes, seven parishes. So Lafayette, St. Landry, St. Martin, Iberia, Vermilion, Evangeline, and Acadia parishes.
What ages are the children and the young people that you help?
They range between the ages of 6 and 18 years old.
6 years old.
So most of the children refer to us through a single mom. looking for a positive male role model for her son. We do enroll males and females, but that's kind of the majority of kids that come to us in our program. And we serve youth through a few different programs. We have our traditional community-based program where Bigs and Littles meet out in the community and they go places together and do stuff, and they meet about twice a month. Obviously, that looks a little bit different right now. Mm-hmm. And then our other traditional program is our school-based program, and that's where our Bigs go into schools in Lafayette Parish and spend time with their little 1 hour a week, either studying, reading together, just walking and talking and hanging out, simply building a friendship, you know, based on trust and friendship and learning and growth.
Right.
That right now is where we've really had to pivot because of volunteers not being able to go into school and that so much uncertainty surrounding the COVID crisis and social distancing. So we've been able to pivot and launch an e-mentoring program, which has been incredible to see so far. We've had so much interest from volunteers because it's a really easy, unique, and meaningful way to volunteer without even leaving having to leave your office. So that's been incredible. And what we're able to do there is serve youth that we weren't able to reach before in maybe more rural areas because when you're volunteering virtually, proximity and distance isn't an issue.
So they use their phone?
So it's through the Zoom platform every other week for half an hour. And then we have an app called the BBBS app. Mm-hmm. And that is a safe digital way to communicate between the parent, the child, and our staff. Mm-hmm. So we're super excited about what e-mentoring is going to look like for us in the future. It's really going to change the way people mentor and support youth these days. So we're excited, and our community-based matches, Bigs and Littles, have slowly started to see each other again. Of course, we put out some pretty strict guidelines, must wear masks, outdoor activities, but because kids have been out of school, haven't been able to see their Bigs, we were able to keep most of them connected virtually, but they're anxious, and they're anxious to see each other. So we actually, this month in September, we're celebrating an 8-year match anniversary. So they were matched 8 years ago. Super cool. So that's a little bit about Big Brothers, Big Sisters.
So I have two questions about the Bigs.
Okay.
About how many do you have, if you know that, and what is your typical profile of a Big?
Well, and people ask us that, but Bigs come up from all walks of life. And you don't have to have any certain talents or characteristics to be a Big. You just have to be a caring adult who really wants to shape a child's future and help kind of guide them on the path to their biggest possible future. So we currently have about 150 active Big and Little matches at this point. Mm-hmm. We always have a wait list of kids waiting to be matched for the Big. So we need Bigs, volunteer Bigs now more than ever to step up and volunteer to spend some time with the child.
Now, if you're a Big, if you're a volunteer, do you go through a background check?
Of course. So child safety is absolutely our number one priority. So our Bigs go through an online orientation and what we call a pre-match training and some child safety training and a one-on-one interview with one of our case managers. That's an hour and a half. And it's just a time for us to get to know you, your strengths and how you can help a child, your interests, your hobbies, your home life. And then we do a layered criminal history record check, obviously, and we do positive references also. And if anybody's had experience previously in a youth serving organization, we do a reference there also. Mm-hmm. So what really makes our matches successful is that they're professionally supported and supervised. So we don't just introduce a Big to a Little and say,
good luck.
Good luck. We'll see you around town. We have staff, match support specialists, whose primary role is to support those matches. So we speak to each party of the match once a month in the first year of the match. And then after that, it's less frequently. But we're really proud of what we do, and we're really proud of the impact and the outcomes that we have. We're an evidence-based and research-based organization. So we have some really great things going on, and we're excited about the future. Even during these really tough times, we're able to continue to grow, maybe at a little slower pace right now. But yeah, so.
Well, Whitney's been here with us, and I don't want you to think I forgot about
you.
But I wanted to get in the mission, the scope of what you do, Callie. And if I can just have you kind of sum up, you know, from this point last year in 2019 to today, your world, how long have you been with
Big Brothers? I've been with Big Brothers, Big Sisters since 2013. I started off as a program staff member.
So your world has pretty much been turned upside down. And so we're here to talk about the pivot, you know, how you can continue offering your services. Mm-hmm. But before we move on, what's the best way for people listening to get in touch with you or find out more about volunteering?
So they can just simply go to our website, and that's acadianabiggs.com.
Oh, Biggs, okay.
Yep, acadianabiggs.com. Mm-hmm.
That's great. Yep. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
So Whitney, you know, we're here in Raider, the studios. Chris Raider and your company, Raider, is so generous, helping causes in the community. Mm-hmm. Why are we sitting here today? What is Raider's role in this new fundraiser we're going to discuss? What role are y'all playing?
Yeah, so like you said, community is a core value of our company, and so we always look for opportunities to help the community through volunteerism, donations, anything that we can do to help. And so the restaurants have taken a very big hit this year, as well as our local nonprofits, and so when we saw the opportunity to not only help local restaurants, but also help Big Brothers and Big Sisters, we saw it as the perfect opportunity to live out one of our core mm-hmm. values.
That's great. So what's going on? We're here on September 2nd. The fundraiser really just got started.
Just got started yesterday. Mm-hmm. So Acadiana Po'boy Festival has supported us mm-hmm. for the past 5 years. We've been their nonprofit arm, and they've donated over $30,000.
Wow.
So this year, in order to support restaurants in the community and Big Brothers Big Sisters, they're launching yesterday Acadiana Po'boy Festival, the Pandemic Edition. So there's a couple different ways to support. One of them is by donating through to the Big Brothers Big Sisters Facebook fundraiser. It's an art raffle fundraiser. So each donation gives you an entry to win this year's Po'boy Festival artwork. And then the second way is to eat po'boys for the month of September.
Oh, so no.
There's 10 participating restaurants in mm-hmm. Lafayette, and they all have a specialty po'boy for the month of September, and a dollar of each sale will come back to Big Brothers Big Sisters. So it's a great way to support the restaurants mm-hmm. who took a hit, and it's a great way to support a nonprofit.
Right. And that's so generous of those restaurants. Would you go through? I know there's 10. Is that wrong?
Absolutely. No, there's 10. So we've got Poop Arts Bakery, C'est Bon Manger, Acadian Superette, Central Pizza and Bar, Pop's Po'boys, Dino's Pizza, Brodus Burgers, Chop's Mid-City Smokehouse, Black Cafe, and Johnson's Spoken Air.
Mm-hmm. Gus Resende was supposed to be with us this morning also. And I, from what I saw, he had a staff member that couldn't make it, so he's actually working at his restaurant this morning, or he would have been here to talk about this. But I know that social entertainment has done so much to support our community's needs, and I want to give a shout out to everything they do.
Absolutely. They've been, again, like I said, you know, raised over $30,000 for the past Po'boy festivals.
Mm-hmm.
And this is another great way not only to support us and to support the restaurants, but to support the sponsors who have been with social entertainment all year long.
Right.
And maybe wouldn't have necessarily have benefits from the in-person events because things have mm-hmm. changed so right. drastically.
So people don't have to say that they're supporting Big Brothers Big Sisters when they order a po'boy. It just automatically you get a dollar.
When they order the specialty po'boy, yep.
Wow. Yeah. How did this come about? Like, I know you said Gus and his group, Social Entertainment, had been supporting you, but how does this come about? Like, how did you become partners? You've got to really network
yeah.
to keep your group viable, to keep
and,
it going.
One of the things I think it came about is that our main location is downtown Lafayette. And so a lot of the work that social entertainment does is downtown. So I think that was a natural connection too.
Mm-hmm.
And just identifying a nonprofit that really had an impact in the community. And I think Gus and social entertainment saw that need and saw that there mm-hmm. was a relationship there. So we're so grateful for it, obviously, and for them to come up with this way to continue to support us mm-hmm. this year in a new kind of virtual way has really been great.
Yeah. Now the art raffle, is that a new addition or have they done that every year also?
So there's artwork every year, mm-hmm. But this is a new way to highlight the artwork by Trent Oob, I believe.
And so it's a picture, it looked, it's food, right?
Yeah, it's po'boys. I think a jar of blue plate mayo and uh-huh. A can of Tony Sacheries,
yeah,
so, which are both
five.
Sponsors.
Yeah, it's five po'boys to represent like the fifth year of the festival.
Uh-huh.
And so you can win the actual painting. And the painting is then turned into posters that are put up all over the
fun.
City.
Yeah.
So it's the original painting that you're winning.
Okay. So how do you get into that? You have to go on the Facebook page. How do you get into the raffle?
So you can find the fun fundraiser on Facebook at the Kaydana Po' Boy Plate Lunch Festival.
Okay.
And there'll be the fundraiser for Big Brothers Big Sisters there. Mm-hmm. And each donation will get you a chance to win the original artwork.
And how much do you recommend people? Is there a minimum contribution?
No, there's no minimum contribution. And, you know, when people are thinking, well, oh man, I can't contribute something, any little bit mm-hmm. helps. Any $10, $15, any little bit helps. And so that's so important for people to know also, that you don't have to donate a big amount. I mean, mm-hmm. I like to say any donation, big or little, makes a difference.
Right.
Because when we can pair a big with a child in the community, the impacts that the child experiences, they have like ripple effect outcomes
yeah.
For generations to follow in those families. So right. it's really important. And so any amount helps. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm thinking, sitting here too, I don't know if you can relate to this, Whitney, but sometimes people do want to give and they do want to make a difference, and they don't necessarily want to get dressed up and go to a fundraiser. And I know you've probably experienced that, Callie, mm-hmm. and putting on events. But if they can give like this, make a difference, and no matter what happens, their money's going to a good place.
It is. You know? And that's the great thing about incorporating the Po' Boys mm-hmm. for lunch and dinner. What a great way to grab lunch for the office crew.
That's right.
Or just in your gym shorts.
Or just in your gym shorts. Or pick yeah. it up to go. And mm-hmm. it's a great way to support, and you're feeding your family.
Right.
And it's still a great way to support.
Right. So, Whitney, I want you to share some sure. about Raider's role, if you can give more in depth, and what you'd like to see for this month coming up.
Yeah, so Raider's role here simply is we're the presenting sponsor. And so what happened was Gus and I met randomly, and I was like, I want to help. I'm new to Raider, and I want to figure out who we can help in the community. And he was saying how they had to pivot. You know, social entertainment has had to cancel many, many events this year. Mm-hmm. And so they're learning how to pivot as well. And so we were talking about a way to use technology, a way to allow people to not leave their homes but also participate, because you don't really know someone's comfort level with even leaving at this point. So like Callie said, you can have a po' boy delivered to your home. You know, you can order it for the office. And so really Raider's responsibility in all of this is just to support, not only financially, mm-hmm. but any kind of way that we can volunteer and help get the word out. And that's what we want to do.
Mm-hmm. So any goals? Like we've got, 28 more days now? So,
oh, man.
I know.
My guys start ordering po' boys.
Do you think we can sell 10,000 po' boys?
I think so. I think 10,000 is amazing, and I think we can do it.
That's amazing.
That's my belief.
So that's our goal then.
Yeah, 10,000
po' boys in the month of September.
That's a lot of money.
It is.
That is a lot of money. And just to put that into perspective, where a dollar goes at Big Brothers Big Sisters, it costs us on average about $1,200 a year to support one match in our community-based program.
Say that again.
So our cost per match, or right. to support one big and little match in our community-based program, is on average about $1,200 a year.
And you've got 150 matches, so you've got some fundraising you
we
need
do,
to do.
We do yeah. have fundraising to do, and in order to grow, and those costs break down, you know, we have enrollment costs. Mm-hmm. When you mentioned earlier about the background check, so the background screening for one big is $100. Mm-hmm. That's for one big, and we don't charge any fees to volunteers or children. It's a free and effective resource for families. So, you know, it costs about $250 for the training and enrollment process. You know, that's obviously the cost of right. The training, the software, and that sort of thing. So, that's where a dollar goes at Big Brothers Big Sisters. Majority to our direct program services.
Right. Right. Any other things you'd like to add about this fundraiser? Have I asked what you wanted to cover about the raffle and also the restaurants? People can find all that on your Facebook page.
Yep. And people can find that on the Facebook page. I just want to shout out that next year's festival will now be the Acadiana Po' Boy and Plate Lunch Festival mm-hmm. in April 2021.
And so that makes sense.
In downtown Lafayette. Hopefully yeah. we'll be in person again.
Yeah, with the Superette and others involved, yep. they're more than Po' Boys. So.
Right. Yeah, so that's an excellent opportunity, because they've had social entertainment, had the Po' Boy Festival and Plate Lunch Festival. So mm-hmm. it's a really great opportunity to combine the two.
Right, right. Yeah. And any fundraisers on the horizon for next year, like besides this one, are you looking ahead to being able to get back into the swing of society?
We are. Actually, I'm glad you asked. So we have our largest fundraiser is Wine, Women, and Shoes. It's our fourth mm-hmm. annual event this year. Typically, it's a spring event in person. Hours of shopping, wine tasting. We do an amazing program, fashion show, obviously we had to pivot.
Yeah.
So we're going virtual and we're super excited. Our online event launches October 1st and culminates with a live broadcast of the event on October 8th. So it's a week long of virtual shopping. So we have marketplace partners who will donate 20% of their sales back to us that week. So we've got like Kendra Scott, we have some local boutiques, we have a wall of wine raffle, we have mega key to the closet raffle. Just amazing auction lots, just some great things happening that week. Mm-hmm. And then on October 8th, we'll have no guests and no audience, but we'll still have a fashion show, a program, we'll highlight our mission moment, and our shoe guys who are fundraising for King of Soul. So that's all happening in October, and we're super excited to see how that goes. And hopefully 2021, we'll be back for our fifth annual Wine, Women, and Shoes in person.
Right. And you know that helps those vendors that are partnering with you because they need to remind people also we're here.
Absolutely. You know, it's a great way. Yeah. So we have some national partners like Kendra Scott, but we also have local partners for the marketplace. And then we have our annual Murder Mystery, which is like our most beloved event.
That's yours.
That's mine. And it's grown over the past 4 years to, again, be a massive success. It's usually in August. It's a two-night event, and we do a whole murder mystery production, three-course dinner, silent auction, and again, it has grown. Each year we say, oh my gosh, how are we going to top this one? And somehow we do. So this year, we're hoping, fingers crossed, that we could pull off a Christmas holiday-themed murder mystery on December 4th and 5th. But we'll see.
Yeah. So it would be like
with a limited audience. We would do
virtual.
We would do virtual.
But tape the
It would be live streamed for free. Probably the Saturday evening, and then but we would have a small in-person attendance. 50, 75 people. You know.
That sounds like fun.
It does sound like fun. I want to go.
It's a blast, and I tell you, if you know anybody who ever goes, they always have a blast at Murder Mystery. It's fun, and it's a long weekend, and I just posted the other day, a memory came up from last year's event, and I posted it on Facebook. It's like my favorite
classic
event of the year. It is. And Murder Mystery has developed and just changed over the years. I mean, we're talking 25 years ago, Fred Mills was in Murder Mystery.
Okay, you know, still the best.
Yeah.
Is he still the best person, you know, Fred Mills?
Yeah, Freddie's great. But over the past years, you know, we had an original cast who they were in it for 12 or 13 years. And at some point, they're like, okay, we got to step down. But the community always steps up and supports nonprofits. And through Murder Mystery is one way. So fingers crossed. We'll see. But we're on for 2021.
Yeah, thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. I'd like to pause for Discover Lafayette's Past, sponsored by Rally Marketing, a full-service digital marketing agency that can assist you with marketing automation, content development, and strategies on how to use social media to turn into a moneymaker for your business. For more information, please visit rallymarketing.com. And now the moment where we focus on how people survived during tough times our community faced in the late 1920s and our community's hero, Maurice Hyman. The first real tick in the history books about Maurice Hyman was during the historic 1927 flood. While Lafayette didn't directly experience the devastation, the refugees definitely deluged our town. The Lafayette chapter of the Red Cross established a general headquarters in Maurice Hyman's department store. Approximately 20,000 people flocked into Lafayette with all the possessions they could carry, looking for higher, dry land, all being absorbed into a town with less than 15,000 residents. It is quoted that the pathetic scenes presented as cars, trucks, mule-drawn wagons, one after another, and they arrived in front of the headquarters building, loaded with refugees, their household goods, and other property, including chickens, pigs, dogs, and in many cases, their all. Barnyard animals were tagged for safekeeping at the fairgrounds in Lafayette. The animals, of course, had to be fed along with the humans. On May 19, 1927, Maurice Hyman assumed direction of the food supplies for the refugee camps set up all throughout Lafayette. He worked day and night, and as they distributed a daily output of at least 3,000 loaves of bread, 1,400 pounds of meat, 400 pounds of rice, 400 pounds of beans, and other large quantities of provisions. Hyman began to purchase the livestock from the refugees to secure a local meat supply. This also decreased the daily demands of managing the livestock that had to be fed during the crisis. Always the manager, always the problem solver, Maurice Hyman proved his loyalty to the region he served. And I share that moment with you because, of course, right now we're going through the horrors and the aftermath of Hurricane Laura on top of the COVID crisis. And I share this with you because, of course, we're going through the aftermath of Hurricane Laura on top of the COVID crisis. Our prayers and best wishes go out to all of those affected. Our thoughts are with you, and we hope that everybody can emerge from this at some point more whole and more together. Thank you. So Kelly, as we're looking at where you are, and again, congratulations on, as you said, pivoting. I just want to say I think you're very lucky to be partnering with Raider. I feel very fortunate. They've helped me with my podcast, and I've watched them partner with other wonderful local nonprofits. But you've really been fortunate to make this connection.
Yeah, this is an incredible opportunity for us to be introduced to a new partner in the community, and hopefully in the future can work together on other things.
Yeah, I know Chris is very loyal when he supports people, and I just can't say enough about all the support that Raider's given to you, United Way, so many other, I know they're involved with UL and so many other wonderful causes. So Whitney, you know, as we're winding down in your position as Director of Growth, you're seeing what's going on with Raider. And I'd like to share just some other things that you guys do, and maybe you can talk about how you've pivoted with clients and others, because people still need tech help more than ever.
Yeah, now more than ever, yeah. People are learning new ways to utilize technology for nonprofits, for events, for their workplace. And so Raider has been helping tons of local companies and nationwide companies learn how to work remotely. We provide the hardware, we provide the security, we provide everything that you need to work from home and to be efficient in your business. You know, lots of companies are pivoting, right? And so we're helping them with that transition. And really, a lot of companies have never worked remotely. You know, it's new. And so we want to walk these companies through it so that's not a hectic process. It's not stressing them out. We want to make it easy. You want it to work. We want to make it work.
We understand.
You know, that's right. We want to make sure that you, all of your equipment's working so that you can be as efficient as possible in your business. And I mean, we're fortunate to meet some of these local nonprofits who have been utilizing technology, and we can help in that way. If you have a technology need and you need some type of mentorship on how to use technology for events, you can reach out to me personally and I will help you and teach you how to use technology to raise funds. I mean, that's what we do. And so we want to help the community in any way possible. And if they aren't sure how to use technology, we can teach them.
How do people contact you, Whitney?
So my email is wsavoy@raidersolutions.com, and that's S as in Sam, A as in Apple, V as in Victor, O-I-E. A lot of people go, is it O-Y or O-I-E?
Savoy or
yep,
Savoy?
That's right. So it's wsavoy@raidersolutions.com.
And I have to say, even small businesses, I know you help. It's not just big companies that you guys are helping. But I think the most stressful thing we've been through with COVID, besides the fear of getting sick, is how do you cope? Like, you know, equipment wasn't available for a while. You couldn't get webcams. Yeah. I couldn't get an extra microphone for my podcast. I mean, things are now coming back up. But it seems to me like people's work habits are going to stay, they're going to shift from where they were just 5 or 6 months ago. Is that what you're hearing from people?
I think so. I think what's going to happen is some companies are going to stay working, have workers remote for the long term. And I think as employees, they're starting to go like, I actually like to work remote. I'm, you know, getting more things done. And I also think like the nonprofit leg of this, they're probably going to find events that really work well virtually and integrate that into their plans for next year. So everyone's going to change the way they think about technology and utilize it long term, in my opinion.
Yeah. I've worked from home for years now, and you really get so much more done at home. But yet, the personal interaction with your cohorts, with your friends, you can't beat that. Like, this is exciting for me to be in the studio today. It's been over 5 months.
Yeah, you really can't beat it. And sometimes, you know, as a leader of an organization and having to make decisions on when it's okay to return to work, how should we return to work, mm-hmm. you really have to take mental health into consideration.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, before we shut down, would you talk about that? You must be seeing that with the kids. Like, you've been concerned, I'm sure, about their mental state while they've been shut down.
We are. So, you know, our number one focus since March has been to keep the kids connected to their bigs. Because social isolation, social distancing, mm-hmm. all of a sudden they don't go back to school, don't know when they're returned to school, compounded, you know, the many adversities and traumas that these kids face when things are good, when things yeah. are well. So for us, the mental health and family well-being and the child's well-being has been a major priority. So we've had to shift some of the ways we do things in terms of training our volunteers. Mm-hmm. So having our volunteers being trained on how to talk to a child about mental health mm-hmm. or
without scaring them.
Right. Or how to answer a question. If the child asks a question about their skin color and says, you know, why does someone look different at me because of my skin color? We want our bigs to be able to say the proper things and how to respond. So we've been focusing a lot on not only keeping them connected, also on educational engagement, mm-hmm. but on mental health and family right. well-being.
Right. Thank you so much, both of you. Callie Crest, Executive Director of Big Brothers, Big Sisters, and Whitney Savoie, Director of Growth at Raider, for sharing this message. It's heartwarming, but it's also, I feel hopeful that we're going to emerge from this year. I don't know. I don't want the year to be over. I hate to say,
I can't wait for
time to pass, because every day is precious. Mm-hmm. But yet, man, we need a break.
Yeah, you know? We're feeling hopeful too, and mm-hmm. you know, maybe that'll be the second word of 2020. You know, in a month or so, everybody's feeling hopeful about the mm-hmm. future, and you know, the future of our community, and supporting vulnerable youth in the community now will have such an impact later.
It's an investment for all of us.
Right. We produce leaders, we produce volunteers, we produce high school graduates, mm-hmm. sometimes first-generation high school graduates and college graduates.
Well, you've got a great website, too. That's just Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Acadiana. Is that
AcadianaBigs.com is
for
our website.
For the website, yep. When you type in Big Brothers, Big
Sisters,
it should come right up.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful site, so I really encourage people to go to that site, find out more about the whole mission, and different ways that people can plug in. So thank
Absolutely.
You for being with us today.
Thank you so much.
Callie and Whitney. And I want to thank our listeners. I'm so grateful for your support, for wanting to know more about your community. Again, we could not do this without the generous support of Iberia Bank, Lafayette General Health, Raider, and Rally Marketing. I just want to thank them all. And please visit our website at discoverlafayette.net. You can find this interview and over 165 other interviews that really shine the light on the wonderful things going on in South Louisiana, and in particular, Lafayette. On behalf of Discover Lafayette, I'm Jan Swift.